Peace of Christ be with you. Happy Friday, everyone. Middle of November. Hey, we have some guests here looking at Hope College, and we want to welcome you here. My name is Trigvi Johnson, and I serve as the Dean of the Chapel here, and it would be our great joy and privilege if you joined our little community, sunk your roots deep in what I like to call the soil of hope. So if you're looking for a people, if you're looking for a place where you can grow deep and tall, hope is it. Welcome, all of you. It's November. As my friend Matt Vermeer said on his Facebook page yesterday, November doesn't mess around. I don't know if anyone got pelted with those snowballs, hail yesterday. November is the month when the wardrobe changes. I put on my long black coat and the scarf and my rimmed hat and mittens. Keep my fingers warm. November is the month of flat, low concrete skies and cold drizzle that feels like snow, because we know snow is just around the corner. I'm convinced that the book of Ecclesiastes was written in November. Nothing's new under the sun. We've been there, we've done that, we've gone to class, we see the same people over and over again. November feels like we're caught in a scene of Groundhog Day. It's just repetition, monotonous, over and over and over again. And in November, I think it's important to name that and then to reframe that. Because repetition, monotony, the things we do over and over and over again are sometimes the most important things. November is a reminder that the world is held together not by novelty, but it's sustained by doing the same things over and over and over again. Imagine what would happen if your heart just said one day, I'm tired, I don't want to start work, I don't want to do this work anymore. You fall down dead. When you think about that, you might start cheering for your heart. Keep working. What would happen if the sun just decided not to rise in the east? Over and over and over again, creation is held by things that God repeats. Children understand this. My son, Trigvi, who's about 2 years and 4 months, wants to do the same things over and over and over again. Let's read that book about Carl, Daddy. Daddy, again, 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 and I wear out long before he does. G.K. Chesterton wondered if that was the same principle about God, that God never tired of saying to the sun in the morning, do it again. Never tired of saying to the moon and the stars, do it again. Maybe our life is sustained every day by God's decision to do it again. To do it again. Our life is held together by repetition. The most important things in our lives, we do again and again. The most important words we need to hear, we say again and again. Which is one of the reasons why I really like November. November is this month where we can claim repetition. This is the time where our routines are calcified, when we're in a rut. But a rut isn't necessarily the bad thing if it's the right rut, if it's the habits that allow us to remember who we are and, more importantly, whose we are. Which is why I love worship so much. Why I love gathering in this space. And we sing the songs of the faith and we pray and we listen to the word. And we do some of the same things over and over and over again. Not because we're not novel or original, but because we need to hear the most important things over and over again. Every week at the gathering, I come out and I do the exact same thing. And if you've ever been, you'll probably notice that I say something in the line of this every week. Welcome in the name of God the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Every week I begin the gathering with those words. Why? Because if we don't get anything else right, we want to name God's name clearly. I don't want to begin with, hey, how are you? What's going on? If my sermon is just an iron dove that just clanks on down, if the music just flubs, if we don't know how to pray, at least we've done one thing correctly. We've said God's name that has been revealed to us in Scripture. Welcome in the name of God, the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That is where we begin. That is how worship begins. And then I ask this question, why have we gathered? We have gathered because Christ is the light of the world. And in him, there is no darkness at all. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. I say that every single week. Ever since I've been here, since 2005, every Sunday, to one degree or another, that is what I have said. And why do I say that? Because the most important words we need to say again and again, the most important activities are those activities that sustain our life. And this is one of those activities, what we just heard. What we just heard was the gospel in shorthand. We begin where we should with the truth. The scriptures, the church, the communion of saints all confirm this fundamental truth, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. It's a line taken out of the prologue of John, the Gospel of John, and it opens up, begins with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing has come into being. And what has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not overcome it. We begin worship saying the same things so that that truth will groove into our soul like the best music pressed into the best vinyl. That is what I want you to hear over and over and over again, so that as you go into your life and you find yourself sometimes in dark places, you will have that repeated as a refrain into your life. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. We say this every week because it takes seriously two fundamental things. It takes seriously the truth of darkness. Darkness is one of history's empirical facts. Darkness in the Gospel of John is a metaphor for sin. It is not the way things are supposed to be. It is alienation, broken relationship, missing the mark. Choose your metaphor, but darkness is the condition of the world. Sin and darkness is the reality that we live in. Max Dupree defines leadership fundamentally as describing and naming reality. And one of the things we have to be aware of as a people of faith in the light is that darkness is very, very real. And it's not just real out there. It's real in here. Which is why there's no utopia. There's no perfect place. For those of you who are looking for colleges and you're looking for just that right school or Christian environment, I'm going to give you a shorthand. There's no such thing. Wherever there is people, there is going to be sin. We are all in darkness. That is what we are born into. That darkness means that we have no capacity ourselves to get to God. We can't build our own ladder to God. Darkness is where we hide, escape, keep things hidden. John takes seriously darkness and knows that we oftentimes live in darkness. And the darkness can feel like it's creeping in like hands around our throat. And when we feel like that, we don't always know what to do. Which is why I say this again and again every single week. Because John takes seriously the darkness, but more importantly, he takes seriously the light that overwhelms the darkness. the light that exposes, the light that draws out, the light that gives us a vision. It is this light that is even now overwhelming the world. And what is this light, says John? The light is not a what, the light is a who. Jesus, the Word made flesh, is the light that shines in this dark world and illuminates the truth. It is this light, Jesus, that draws us out of the citadel of the self and pushes us out into the wide open, expansive country of hope. Light is what is real. That is the condition of what we are living in. This is John's way of saying what the Creed says, what Kate will talk about on Sunday night, the forgiveness of sins. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Sin cannot overcome God's grace, ever. It is finished. It is total. Jesus is the light of the world, and what does Jesus do? Jesus defeats darkness. Jesus defeats sin, and that is the condition and the reality in which we live. Some will say this is the secular age, and I do not believe that for a minute. I believe this is the sacred age. This is the sacred age because the light shines in the darkness, came in actual time and place in human history, and did for us what we could not do for ourselves, to set us free from the bondage of sin, that we might again become a people of light. And that is the gospel and the good news. And so every week we begin with this fundamental truth to groove into our soul like music pressed into vinyl. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. That sometimes we prefer the darkness to the light. Sometimes we want to keep things hidden. And so just as we say this every week, we have to do something else every week, every day. What do we do with this information, this knowledge, this revelation? We repent. Which is just another way of saying we turn towards the light. We walk to God, and we let God expose the truth. And in God's light, we are always healed. In God's light, we are always safe. We are always made who we were made to be, reconciled to God and to each other, to creation and to ourselves. The light, my friend, shines in the darkness. And I don't know where you're at in life or what's going on, but I know some of what's going on in some of you, and I know that some of you are in dark places. And if you are, know that the light is real. Know that the light shines, and the light always, always overwhelms the darkness. Amen? Let's pray. We thank you, God, that you are a God of light. We thank you that your light can shine into all our dark places and make us whole and to heal us and to give us hope. For you are the God of hope. You are the God who does not leave us in the dark, but comes in the flesh and lights up our life. Light us up now, Lord, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Go in peace, friends.